What the hell was that?
Can you hear me now?
Can you hear me?
Hello?
Yeah. Are you there?
We gotta get rid of this kook. I got an idea.
Greatness at its finest.
Welcome to the Rodcast.
Wonder who that could be.
On the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260.
Come on, why you want to play a brother like that?
And hornfm.com.
Is there a problem back there?
Where the Longhorns play and Austin talks sports.
Welcome back to the Rodcast. You can always be a part of the show. Hit us up on the Specs text line. That's the best way to do it. 512-337-3776. You can also hit me up via Twitter. I'm at Rod Babers in the Twitterverse. My main man, Wags. He is at Not the Fake Wags. We got a lot to get into on the show. I did bring up in crosstalk that Texas football, they've added to the support staff once again. So there's an arms race going on in college football. And Nick Saban and Alabama and Clemson and Ohio State and Texas are right there at the forefront. That's where they should be. So we'll get into that next segment. We'll go behind the burnt orange curtain because also there's Texas A&M discussion to get to. There's some Texas Cold War talk that we have to get into. Dallas Morning News broke a story that a member of the elite of Texas A&M, all right, that he has been exposed, that he publicly has one stance about rekindling the Texas A&M rivalry, but behind closed doors in emails that have been released, he feels another way, or at least he's letting folks behind the scenes know that he feels a little different about it. So we'll get to that next segment. We'll get into some Texas football discussion on both sides of the ball, but also we'll talk about the Texas Cold War a little bit. There's NBA news notes and nuggets to get to. We'll talk some Rockets on the show coming up a little bit later on. There's also, this is a random story, but I think it's sports related, so I think we'll address it. There's going to be a Hulk Hogan biopic coming out on Netflix.
And Thor is like the...
Thor, yeah. Thor is going to be Hulk Hogan. And I thought to myself, it's pretty damn... I like that, actually. I think Thor, Chris Hemsworth, would be a damn good Hulk Hogan. When he gets the stash working and all that, I think he'll be pretty damn good. So here's my question. If we're reaching out into... Because I actually got a list here. If we're reaching... And I spent way too much time on this. I went down a rabbit hole. If you are a wrestling fan like me, because I grew up a Hulkamaniac, and I know people are like, hey, man, Robbie, we're going to pull your black card because Hulk Hogan is an admitted racist. He said it. He admitted there's video evidence of it. Whoa, I would dispute that. Terry Bollea is a racist, self-admitted.
Did Hulk, he really come out and say he was racist?
He did. He said, he said he was racist.
Oh, my God. I didn't know about that.
That's what the whole thing is about Hulk Hogan. He admitted he was a racist.
He
didn't want his daughter. There was a sex tape that came out. He was banging.
Now, I knew about that.
He was banging one of his best friend's wives, I believe. Wives. I can have multiple. His best friend's wife. One of his best friend's wives. And he admitted on the video, there's audio of him. He's like, he admitted to being a racist. Like, he didn't want his daughter dating black guys. And it wasn't Donald Sterling. Like, Donald Sterling was a polite racist because he never dropped the N-bomb. Hulk Hogan dropped the N-bomb. At least Donald Sterling was like, Magic Johnson, what has he ever done? Big Magic Johnson. He just didn't like black people, but he never said a slur. And that was interesting to me. I was like, man, what a polite old racist. You know what I mean? Because, he doesn't like black people, but at least he's not, being impolite about it. He's got a little class to him. All right. At least try to hide it a little bit. Hulk Hogan, he admitted that he was racist.
I'm going to go back under this rock and see what I can find.
No. Go. You can go Google it and everything. I remember when it was a big deal because I was a Hulkamaniac. That's why it is embedded in my brain. But it's going to be a good movie. So this is my idea. So, like I said, Hulk Hogan is an American hero. Terry Bollea is the racist. Hulk Hogan, that was one of my heroes growing up. Well, so was Bill Cosby. Damn it. And so was Michael Jackson. Damn it. All right. it's my childhood. I just see it burning up. In front of a dumpster fire in front of my very eyes. But anyway, I digress. So Chris Hemsworth, I do like the casting of Hulk Hogan. By the way, it is going to be a Netflix biopic, and they said they're not going to include the racist rant and the the sex video and all that kind of stuff. So, which is, I'm like, well.
Isn't that a part of life?
Well, that's, yeah, if you're going to tell the Hulk Hogan story, that's a big part of the story. You're going to not leave out the part where now he had to kind of, he had to reinvent himself and had to go through the, you know, the redemption process like a lot of, you know, all-time great pop culture figures. Yeah, he's got to do that. So, I don't know. I hope they do that. They're not. Apparently, Bradley Cooper is involved with it, too, which got me thinking, because I was like, man, Bradley Cooper could end up playing a character in the movie. Because if it's Hulk Hogan, they're going to have all the characters, you know, in the wrestling universe, him interacting with those characters. So if you're a wrestling freak like me, here's my challenge for you on the Specs text line, 512-337-3776, and I'll reveal mine. What other Hollywood actors can play great, iconic wrestlers in the Hulk Hogan biopic that Chris Hemsworth is going to play Hulk Hogan in? Thor. All right, and I came up, and my first challenge was, who's going to play Randy Macho Man Savage, and who's going to play Ric Flair? That's where I started. I was like, you know what? Who's going to play? Because he's got to interact with Ric Flair at one point, just because. Who's going to play Randy Macho Man Savage? Now, I know Ric Flair was in a different.
Territorial days, too.
He was in WWE.
Yeah, wrestling territorial.
He was in NWA, WCW, all that kind of stuff. But they went overseas and they had wrestling in Japan, all that kind of stuff. They crossed paths, you know what I mean? Considering how iconic and great they were at the time. There's nobody that can play Andre the Giant. So that's why I was like, well, I guess he's going to have to be a phenomenon all to himself where they talk about him and maybe have somebody standing on a ladder that may represent them but never see his face, always film him from the back, whatever.
Have some type of old footage.
Yeah, it's just not going to work. You can't. There's nobody that can play Andre the Giant. But my first real challenge was like, man, what? Because Chris Hemsworth is pretty big. You got Thor. I mean, he's a pretty big. That's an A-list celebrity right now in Hollywood. So what other A-list celebrities that could end up playing other wrestlers in that universe around Hulk Hogan in the biopic? Randy Macho Man Savage was my first. Here's what I got for Randy Macho Man Savage. And this is going to sound crazy. I know it sounds weird. Robert Downey Jr. I know he's like, what the hell? Think about it. Robert Downey Jr. is the only white man that has done blackface in the 21st century. And everybody laughed about it. Everybody.
Is that because he didn't come out of character until after the DVD commentary?
It's just because he's a genius. You know what I mean? Like, he is a, you know what I mean? Yeah, exactly. He was in character deep. But, I mean, everybody watched Tropic Thunder was like, man, that dude going blackface? Hey, that's risque. You know what I mean? And it works. He is. I mean, and you go look at his range. He's got a deep range. He can go all over the place. I know it sounds crazy, because Randy Macho Man Savage would just be hard. I mean, that's almost impossible. Like, who's going to play him? The first person I thought about was Robert Downey Jr. I threw out Johnny Depp. He could do it, but I don't know if he could do this. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know about Johnny Depp right now. I don't know how deep he is down the rabbit hole. And then my friend told me Christian Bale could do it. Because Christian Bale could do anything. He's Batman. He's Dark Knight. He can do anything. So rack your brain. And, oh, Ric Flair? Okay, here's what I got for Ric Flair. Should I reveal this? Okay, here's what I got for Ric Flair. I know it sounds crazy, okay? And I got a few of these. Ryan Gosling as a young Ric Flair. He's got to bulk up now. He's got to get swole. He's got to do what...
He's got to be puffy, not just yoked. He's got to be a little puffier.
What's the black dude that plays Creed? What's his name?
Oh, Michael B. Jordan.
You know, Michael B. Jordan wasn't always swole. Go look him in on The Wire. He wasn't swole. Now, recently, he's gotten swole. Man, in Hollywood, you can take HGH and get swole in like a month. Ryan Gosling, grow the hair out. Young Ric Flair. I think you can do it. Now, you could also go, somebody told me, Ric Flair is probably tougher than anybody. Somebody said you could go with Matthew McConaughey for Ric Flair. And I was like, oh, no. I don't know if it's going to work. I mean, he's wild enough to do it, but I don't know if it would be believable. But I trust him.
Maybe Bradley Cooper could do Ric Flair if he dyed the hair.
Bradley Cooper could do some Ric Flair.
He's got that swell.
He's got some bulk. I like that. Bradley Cooper could do Ric Flair. Ric Flair's, those are the two toughest. Everybody else, you can kind of throw stuff at the wall for everybody else. But Randy Macho Man Savage and Ric Flair, because they were so iconic and their swagger was so significant and so specific, man. You got
honestly, for me, you know, casting Ric Flair, the difficulty is the hair, man, the golden locks.
Exactly. That's why I was trying to think of blondes that could do it. You know what I mean? Like, it's hard to think of blondes that are that good. I guess you can dye somebody's hair blonde.
That hair is not just blonde. It is golden.
Blonde. Somebody, I was talking to a friend of mine about this, and we'll get to some other sports topics here in a second. But I had a friend of mine who said, you know, Tom Cruise, if you dye his hair blonde, Tom Cruise is really talented, man. And remember on Tropic Thunder, bringing Tropic Thunder up again, when he's got to be wild and crazy, it's crazy. I don't know how he does it, but he can channel it. He can do it. You know,
maybe Tom Cruise is the Macho Man.
Tom Cruise could be the Macho. He could.
Maybe both.
I think he can pull it off. He's small. I think he can pull it off. I do. I think, you know. So those are some you can just throw out there. Like, okay, all right. So you see how fun it could be if you really get into it. All right. So that's my challenge for the Rodcast Nation out there. I know
can
you guys
do
will do a
next
good job.
Segment too?
Yeah, we'll do it next. We'll do it all through the show. I mean, I went down a rabbit hole. Look at this list. I went down a rabbit hole. I wasted like an hour of my prep time today, and I was like, oh man, this will be cool. And that's I went off the rails. Okay, let's get to the biggest story of the day. Biggest story of the day: the injury to Zion Williamson, and it was really, man. And I was excited about it. I talked about it on the show. Yesterday. I was like, man, I can't wait. All right, you know what I mean? I got some pluckers, spicy lemon pepper wings. I was ready to go. And, 36 seconds into the game, the most improbable thing happens. His shoe blows out, literally explodes. Barack Obama there, courtside, even says, oh, his shoe broke. You can see him mouthing it. Oh, his shoe broke. That's what happened. And as a result of that, he slides, overextends himself, and then ends up has a mild knee sprain.
Again,
for his right knee.
That much mass.
Man.
Can't be going that fast and that explosive
and have
stop.
No support like that.
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, you might as well put him in socks out there on the court and ask him to stop. You know what I mean? Like, and we don't think we don't think. And
they're calling it a mild sprain.
Yes,
right now.
Mild. Like, it's not serious at all. Like, it's, from what I've been told, it's not serious. I've had mild knee sprains before.
But it's enough to issue precaution.
It is enough to scare the hell out of you. And you look at his eyes and you can tell, it scared the hell out of him. It scared the hell out of everybody. I mean, it was crazy. I think we all took the collective, it's one of those moments. I'm hoping everybody was watching it live because it's one of those rare moments that we can all experience as a sports nation together and all actually have the same opinion about watching it. Like, holy Chicago. Like, oh no, please no. You know what I mean? Like, no. Exactly. Like, no. Don't let that happen. No. You know what I mean? Like, with nobody, everybody had to say, everybody was fearful that the worst case scenario was going to happen. But it did not. Thank God. It's all good. But his shoe broke. So for Nike, they had to deal with the fact that their stock their stock prices actually, I think, dropped. Was it like 1% today? So
Link and I, it'll go back up.
Yeah, I don't think that's necessarily a big deal for them. The big topic of discussion is, and now it goes back to amateurism is, and, you know, him being a student athlete and, you know, being paid, as I've always said, we're paid. I was paid as a student athlete, just underpaid. I'm not going to be like, they're not paid. No. They're paid, just underpaid. Okay. Severely, you could argue, underpaid, especially a guy like Zion Williamson. So, and here's, kind of my thing about it. People ask the question now, should he play? Should he play again? If he wants to play, he should play. Like, he really should. If he wants to play, he should play. If I would try to get some middle ground, I'd be like, man, just say I'm hurt to the tournament. Like, literally, you know what I mean? Like, hey, man, just say I'm hurt to the tournament, man. You know what I mean? Like, I want to play. I want to help my team. I know y'all can make the tournament without me. If they can't make the tournament without him, then they don't deserve to be in the tournament anyway. All right? So, yeah, and I know it's a significant drop-off between, like, the top four guys at Duke and everybody else because they got three first-round draft picks right now on that roster. But if I'm Zion, I got to shut it down for insignificant, meaningless games because that is, to me, that does serve as a reminder to us all and a warning to him, like, hey, man, just so you know, you're not being paid just yet. And some people are like, well, you know he's being paid at Duke. Yeah, because the NCAA's antiquated, archaic system has forced him to break the law if he is being paid. So if you want to joke about it, that's fine. But they're forcing him to avoid Uncle Sam and break the law if that's the case, and that ain't cool either. All right? And, you know, I don't think he should play again. Like, if I'm him, because he's going to be a first-round pick regardless. They've already, I mean, even if he, going back, if you go look at the, like, the Rivals and 247 Sports rankings for college basketball players last year before he was a true freshman, or before he got to Duke, he was rated, you know, top three players in the country, I believe, by both. His teammates R.J. Barrett and Cam Reddish were also in the top five with him, you know, depending on which ranking you were looking at. ESPN put him behind R.J. Barrett at number two. Had Williamson been able to go directly from high school to the draft, he probably would have been number one because he was already like a YouTube sensation at the time because he had been doing all these dunks on YouTube and Instagram and stuff like that. So he was already... And you know what? He still, even if he got hurt and he had a season-ending injury, probably still would have been drafted top three in the draft. I mean, that's just how much, I think how much of a phenomenon he's been. But I will say that if you start looking at whether he should play or not, if I'm him, I would like to bargain. I'd say, man, I want to play in a tournament. And maybe that's the ACC tournament, or maybe it's just the actual tournament for March Madness. But... yeah, I mean, like, you know how I feel. You know, you got to start getting paid for your reps. He is a couple of months away from cashing in. And people think this is going to change the conversation or the narrative about amateurism and the student athlete, and it won't. It won't. Trust me. And we'll get into the history of that a little bit later on in the show, but it's not going to change that. What I think it may have done is it may have furthered the discussion at the NBA level about Article X. Article X, which is basically the NBA's rule about you must be 1 year removed from high school to go into the league. And the NBA actually has been thinking about changing that for a while. Adam Silver has been at the forefront of that discussion. He's brought it up several times, and he's, you know, been one of those guys he's been very, very progressive so far. And Article X instructs that for an American player to be draft eligible, he must be at least 19 years old, and at least one NBA season must have elapsed since when he graduated from high school, or if he didn't graduate, when he would have graduated. And the current CBA, I think, runs out at 2023-24. But there is a mutual opt-out in 2022, but you can always amend the current CBA in the NBA. You can go amend it, the Players Association and Adam Silver. And I believe a story like this, I think it may compel Adam Silver to go to the table with that as an issue for him. Because Zion Williamson was going to be a number one overall pick. That's his workforce. Not saying like that's his workforce and he owns them, but that's a future NBA star that's getting hurt at the college level. And if he's going to get hurt, hey, man, I'd rather him get hurt. If I'm Adam Silver, get hurt in my league. You know what I mean? Where we can monetize him and market him. And not only that, we can pay him and he'll have more guarantees. You know what I mean? And I think for that discussion is one that is probably closer to happening than any retooling or reconfiguring of the amateur system and college sports. So at the NBA level, I think you may get, you know, guys like Zion Williamson. And I know you can. I think at the G League level, Adam Silver's already working on that. The G League level, you being able to sign right out of high school for the NBA's G League. And then I do believe you can get you can sign endorsements and do whatever. And of course, you can always go overseas. If you're, you know, a basketball player, you can go overseas for a little while, for a year, and, you know, you can do that. Some of the balls are doing it. You can go that route, and you can always sign endorsements and make money. But, you know, right now for Zion Williamson, we'll see if he shuts it down. A lot of people think that in his makeup, he's not going to shut it down. He's going to play. I would, yeah, I would, if I was trying to influence him, I would say, hey, man, try to play in the games that matter. If you and, you know, Coach K can work out something where, hey, man, this game really matters. We really need it. Okay, let's always have him with a mild sprain or something. You know what I mean? Game time decision until you need him. Because there's no reason to, you know, have a guy like that get hurt, especially now that he's actually dealing with an injury, to get hurt during the season and, you know, jeopardize his ability to cash in when he's just months away. For Nike, what was it, the Paul George shoe? It was the Paul George 2.5 PE or whatever they called it. And he doesn't – I don't think he gets to – I mean, I'm sure that's the shoe that the university gave to him. People, like, think he – and maybe he bought that shoe. Maybe he did. I don't know. I mean, the university always provides shoes too. So I don't know if he got this shoe from them. They are at Nike school, or if he – that's his own personal shoe.
Is it more than one – I mean, I'm just curious. Do they get more than one style, or is it just the one?
I think you get more than one. I mean, I don't know the rules. Now, they do have enhanced, like, they enhanced the scholarships since when I was there. So
is it like a matching set of shoes or
yeah,
something?
Yeah, remember the guys were selling, and this is a Jumpman contract. Remember the guys at Michigan and North Carolina got in trouble for selling their shoes? Because they had so many damn shoes. They're getting tons of shoes. It's like, man. Well, man, maybe that's Jumpman as opposed to Nike. But I assume Nike, especially with North Carolina and Duke,
affiliation, right?
Yeah, I assume they're getting whatever the max that they can get within, you know, the NCAA rules. But I don't know exactly what those rules are. But I mean, I would assume that they're getting
a ton
of different shoes. Yeah, when Nike's got a shoe that they want to throw out there and promote, I'm assuming they like, hey man, let's give it to Duke. And I'm assuming they're probably making Duke their own shoes or types of shoes. You know what I mean? Like it's Nike. Yeah, so I don't know. Nike's got an answer for that. They right now got an internal investigation happening to figure out what happened. Oh, you know what happened. Y'all made some cheap shoes, and they got caught on the wrong dude, all right, at the wrong time. It was so improbable. Like, yeah, that has happened before. Like, there have been shoe malfunctions. I've seen shoes explode on football fields. Like, it happens, all right? But it never happens on the biggest stage in sports that night in the country. That was just on the biggest star. Like,
why did you say that, too, about the football, you know, comparison? Because that was almost like a football injury with his knee and everything.
It was, man. It looked bad, and then he went down. I mean, it was scary. So good for him. I'm glad it's not a serious injury. The question is, will he play again? Will he actually play again for Duke, or will he decide to hang it up, or will he decide, hey, as soon as I'm healthy again, I'm going out there for my team? I would venture to say it should be somewhere in the middle. Find the compromise. Games that matter. Tournament games. You know what I mean? Tournament games, that's when he should play. And if you're on the verge of not being able to make the tournament and you need wins here or there, then he should play. What, do they got four losses all year or something like that? I mean, they don't – when those three are healthy, three losses, when those three guys are healthy altogether, you know, there's really only two or three teams in the country that can beat them, pretty much. I think two of their losses have been when they've had health concerns and one of those three guys has ended up missing time. All right,
yeah, North Carolina's, you know, they're the better, if you ask me, they're the better shooting team,
And Gonzaga,
Duke, actually, their shooting woes is actually quite common. They don't shoot the ball that well, but they do everything else better. This is a uncharacteristically low shooting percentage, or just a not – they don't shoot the ball that well, Duke, right? Beyond the arc, they really don't shoot the ball that well.
The combined
North Carolina does.
The combined three-point percentage for both teams in the first half was 8%.
Say that North Carolina went 2-for-20 or something like
it
that.
It was the lowest in 5 years for a Division I game. Like, it was terrible, but
it just did not look like Duke, North Carolina basketball.
But they shot well, both teams, from two-point range and high-percentage baskets, yeah. And points in the paint. I think North Carolina had 34 points in the paint in the first half. So, yeah.
Yeah, but what are you usually accustomed to seeing from a Duke squad, right? Drive and dish out. Drive and kick out. Yeah. Drive and kick out.
That wasn't there anymore.
Usually you got to run and create turnovers to score with this Duke squad because the shooting percentage just hasn't been there.
Yeah, that was a significant drop-off when Zion left. No question about it. All right, we'll come back. We'll talk more about that because now people want to have the conversation about student athletes not getting paid and whether they should be paid and how much they should be compensated. We'll come back and dive into that discussion a little bit. Also, we'll go behind the burnt orange curtain. We'll talk some Texas football. They made hires on the support staff, and we'll talk about that too. All that and more right here on the broadcast. This is The Horn, 104.9 AM 1260. All right, welcome back to the Rodcast. You can always hit us up on the Specs Text Line, which is lit right now. And all anybody wants to talk about on the Specs Text Line is the casting of the WWE biopic of Hulk Hogan. All right, and who's going to be in the universe? You guys got some good suggestions. So, okay, we're going to bump everything, and I'll share my list with you guys, and then we'll get back to the conversation about Zion, and we'll talk Texas football and all that kind of stuff too. All right, we'll get to that coming up here in a second. All right, because I want to hit the Specs Text Line, because you guys throw a lot at me, so I want to make sure I give everybody their time. First of all, per our discussion, one texter said about Zion, and you know, a lot of people talking about he should be paid and compensated. It's a sad story considering, you know, the exploitation of student athletes currently. This texter says, if you pay student athletes, you're going to have to pay everyone the same amount, regardless of sport, popularity, gender, etc. That's the real challenge. Vince, totally agree, Vince, and I love your nuanced opinion. Just looking at, hey man, it's a lot more to that discussion than we should pay them. And I agree. That's why I know I should, and it would seem like I am. I'm not on the bandwagon to pay student athletes. Never have said on this show you should pay them. Never. You've never heard me say that. I've always said give them more freedom. Give them more liberty. Give them more rights, players' rights. Always said that. So give them more health care and better health care. And let them, as long as they have a certain GPA, I always said 3.5 or 3.2, whatever you want to make it, whatever you think is should be a lofty enough standard, that gives them the ability to transfer when they want to, all right, because that would make it about academics, all right, so they give them the ability to transfer when they want to. It would, you know, I think based on, you know, their GPA, that should really determine a lot about the guaranteed scholarships. I think scholarships should be guaranteed if your GPA is certain. It's a certain whatever. So even if you go to the NFL, the University of Texas has guaranteed scholarships. I don't think anybody in the country actually does it. I thought it was illegal the first time I came back to Texas. I was like, I'm not telling anybody about this because this doesn't seem like this is legal. But I appreciate Texas doing this. Everybody who's ever been on scholarship at Texas, as long as you don't get kicked out of the university for doing something, some, you know, duplicitous deed, and, you know, as long as you didn't get kicked out because of your scholastic status, you can always come back on scholarship. And even as an old man, come back on scholarship, and Butch Hadnott's, you know, back at the university, you know, no matter how many years have passed. That is worth, to me, now you're talking about true compensation. So then you're saying that my academic scholarship is a lifetime scholarship as long as I keep up a certain, you know, academic standard. That's what they should do. That you wouldn't pay them. Y'all always say, oh, the scholarships are prices. Man, I wish I had a scholarship. Okay, well, then let's give them a real scholarship. Instead of making them year to year, let's make them guaranteed based on GPA. They won't do that. The transfer market should stay as it is, but they should allow guys who have 3.5 GPA to transfer without penalty whenever they want to, because they are truly student athletes. Student athletes. And if you want to throw in that they start the video game again, and then all the proceeds from the video game, the guys get to get, you know, checks because of that, that's fine too. Whatever you want to do. But you can't pay them. The structure is not set up yet to pay them. It's so archaic. They've set the system back so far that trying to pay them would totally, you would have to destroy the entire system and start over from scratch. You know what I mean? Like, you would, and doing that, you would disrupt academia. You would disrupt the educational, because they've interwoven themselves so much in the academic institutions. You can't just, and, you know, that's the money, it's tied to it too, and all that kind of stuff and legislation. There's no way you can overhaul the system like that. So since you can't, then give them unlimited snacks, thank God. Just a couple of years ago. Unlimited snacks. Well, no shucks, Sherlock. You should have been giving them unlimited snacks from the get-go. They're student athletes. They're burning calories faster than any human beings on the planet. Give them a Snickers bar without it being a violation. I used to steal food from the dining hall, from my own dining hall. I had to come in there with Tupperware and steal chicken fried steak and steal mashed potatoes and steal chicken breasts and take them up to the room and invite the track ladies over to have a late night snack. Oh, yeah, it was always fun. And watch a little romantic comedy. Oh, yeah, it was real because ladies get hungry at night. And a free meal, women will go out with you for a free meal. Even if they don't like it, they'll come over for a free meal. Many a times close a deal because of free food that I stole from the dining hall. I shouldn't have to steal food from the dining hall. It's a point. You know what I mean? Because dinner is at supper, excuse me, was at 6 o'clock. And hell, I'm a grown man and I'm hungry at about 8:30 or 9. So what I'm going to do? And I'm broke. So, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, you can't pay him. Barack Obama said give him better health care. He said he was concerned about health care. He's like, I'm not concerned about paying the players. Can we make sure that they're physically they're taken care of since they're playing such a dangerous sport, since they're sacrificing their bodies? Do that. So there are things you can do where, you know, the video game, the NCAA video game, and now they've paid the players retroactively, except for Rod B. They paid the players up until 2003, and I was there until 2002, so I didn't get a check, which is a bunch of bull. You know what I mean? I should have got a check. I should have got something. But they never told the NCAA. They never told EA Sports that they had to stop making the game. And EA Sports, by the way, admits to this day, they would love to make the game, but the NCAA won't let them. They was like, man, we can make the game all day. We love that. That was one of our most popular games. NCAA won't let them. Why? Because a court ruled, well, you got to pay these guys if you're going to just use them on a game. You can't just use Rod B on a game and not pay the man. I mean, obviously, his likeness, it looks like him. Unless you're going to turn the corner into a white cornerback out there. That's Rod Babers wearing 21. At Texas from 1999 to 2002, you got to pay the man. So, and NCAA said, pay him. No. And I'll tell you why that is so threatening and dangerous to the NCAA later, but yeah, that's what they got to do. And now they're finally starting to do that, right? Enhanced scholarship, cost of living, unlimited snacks, and transfer portals and stuff like that. It's like, yeah, you should have been doing that from the get-go. Just give them, if you would have given the student athletes more freedom, they wouldn't be suing you later. The reason Texas doesn't, listen, every school out there, every school out there is cheating, but not all schools are corrupt. The NCAA rules are so ridiculous that everybody's cheating. You can't help it because the rules are so unrealistic and they lack pragmatism. But Texas doesn't have a lot of scandals in terms of, you know, people, Yahoo Sports coming down here and breaking big stories about scandals. And hell, there's more money pumping through Texas than any other university. Texas tries its best to treat its student-athletes really good, like really good. Like I said, you can go back. If you ain't graduated from Texas and you played, and you're on scholarship there, they'll welcome you back. Come on, let's get you enrolled. Come on in there, yeah. Well, it's been 20 years. It doesn't matter. We'll figure out something. Come on back in here. You're family. Yeah, because you treat people right and you treat them with respect and dignity, they're not going to turn on you. They consider themselves to be family. Same thing with the NCAA. They treat the student-athletes so badly. Then the student athletes, everybody wants to turn on the NCAA when they leave up under the grasp of the NCAA. So that's my problem with them. Like, they don't have to do much. It's just little stuff, but they, you know, they drag their feet on it. So I agree. You can't pay them. And I never said you could pay them. But you can give them way more freedom, way more liberties, way more rights. You can't pay them, but you don't have to exploit them. That's the best way I can say it. You know what? You can't pay them. But you don't have to exploit them. All right. Let's talk about the WWE movie and the casting. All right. So Netflix is coming out with a Hulk Hogan biopic. I was a Hulkamaniac growing up, so big Hulk Hogan fan. They got Chris Hemsworth to play Hulk Hogan, which I think that was money in the bank. That is a great casting job. I think Chris Hemsworth's going to do a great job. He was Thor as Hulk Hogan in the biopic. So I started thinking, all right, who's going to play the other wrestlers in the universe, in the WWF universe back then around Hulk Hogan? And, you know, I said the toughest challenges would be Randy Macho Man Savage and Ric Flair. My Randy Macho Man Savage actors I threw out there that could play Randy Macho Man Savage, and it's tough. I threw Robert Downey Jr. out there because he's done blackface and, hell, everybody loved it, so he's a damn good actor with range. I said Christian Bale just because Christian Bale's a great actor and he can do damn near anything. And for Ric Flair, needing a blonde, I threw out there Ryan Gosling. People didn't like it, but I threw Ryan Gosling out there. Tom Cruise probably could try to do both if you wanted Tom Cruise, but Tom Cruise is really little. He's a small dude. Matthew McConaughey could try to do the Ric Flair thing, but you know that might be a stretch. So Ric Flair and Macho Man are the toughest. So I asked you for your suggestions, and I got some really good ones. Someone says Hugh Jackman as Macho Man. I like that. That's a great one. I have Hugh Jackman later on as The Undertaker, though. And you know what? Wags and I actually had Hugh Jackman playing the same WWF character, which is crazy. That means, me and my man, great minds think alike. That's all that is. So I like Hugh Jackman in the universe, no question. He's swole, and he's played like action stars before. That's good. My man Gary does not like my Ryan Gosling pitch. He said Tom Cruise might make sense because he can buy a drink without being carded. He likes Mickey Rourke as Macho Man, but he's too old. I agree. Mickey Rourke is kind of what you want, but he's a little too old for the part right now, but maybe depending on the era that they're putting it in. Someone says Chris Pratt as Ric Flair. Chris Pratt as Ric Flair. I don't know. It could work. I don't know how he's going to look when the hair grows out and then the makeup and all that kind of, but he's swole enough that you can get the swoleness too. A big part of this casting is, can that person get swole enough to play a wrestler? I think in the HGH era of Hollywood, I think they can do it. Another texter here says, Carl Urban for Macho Man.
Now that's on point.
You know what? I looked up Carl Urban because I had to, and I agree with that. I can see it. They also say Zach Galifianakis as Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
That, probably the best one yet.
That might be brilliant. Kind of Rain Man brilliant there. I see that for some reason. I don't know why. Another section says The Rock as Randy Savage. Yeah, I don't know who The Rock is going to play, but Rock has got to be in it somehow. So maybe they'll do a little, he'll have a cameo in it. But yeah, you got to put The Rock in it. I don't know how you're going to do it. Someone says Mark Wahlberg as Macho Man. I could see it. I have Mark Wahlberg already.
The Ultimate Warrior, that's where I got him at.
I got, actually, so the Ultimate Warrior is tough. Let me look for my Mark Wahlberg. I have Mark Wahlberg as, he's several people. I got him as Chris Jericho or Lex Luger. you know what I mean? So I went down the rabbit hole on this. Yeah, I like that Mark Wahlberg thing because he's swole. Also, I put Mark Wahlberg as Brutus the Barber Beefcake.
I can see that too. I can see Brutus.
Which is, I think he and Hulk Hogan are related. So Brutus the Barber Beefcake is going to be a big role. Because they're related. I think they're cousins or something strange like that, if I'm not mistaken. So I have him. Also, I had Gerard Butler as Brutus the Barber Beefcake. You know Gerard Butler? I think he could do it. Maybe he could do it, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong about that. All right. So more here. Someone says, that's your Macho Man, Mickey Rourke. He posted a picture of Mickey Rourke. You know, Mickey Rourke does. He looks like an old Macho Man. We got to get the young essence of Macho Man. Someone says Ric Flair has that Targaryen hair. Yeah, I know. Ric Flair is that the golden locks. Ooh. One texture says Matthew McConaughey can be the Ultimate Warrior. That's not bad. Matthew McConaughey.
See, I see Matthew McConaughey is Rick Rude.
Ooh, Ravishing Rick Rude. Ooh, that's good. That's good. Yeah, I don't even know if I have Ravishing Rick Rude here. That's pretty good. I like that. Someone says Zac Efron as Ric Flair. You think you know what? I like Zac Efron. I'm not going to lie. That's a talented young man. I'm a big fan. I'm a big fan of that. Someone said, I like this one. Got a good one here. A.D. says James Franco. He said an A-lister for Macho Man. Need to bulk up, of course, but as extravagant. He's an extravagant guy. I like that.
Chad Hastings is going to weigh in. He came in. He raised my eyebrow a little bit on this. James Kahn's son.
Oh.
Scott Kahn. He was a tweeter in Varsity Blues. He He plays in Hawaii Five-0 right now.
Oh, yes!
But he would
yes.
be...
I know exactly what you're talking about.
He would be a
Blonde.
Great Ric Flair because of his persona.
He is.
The only thing is trying to get him with those golden locks.
That's a good point. I like you on it. But you can always dial the locks, no doubt. Someone, that text says, Mark Henry plays Junkyard Dog. Ooh, he's too big for Junkyard Dog, but I like that. I like that. I like that. Okay, all right. This is taking up the show. Too much of it. I will try to get back on track and talk some sports. My man Mark Henry will be upset with me. Yeah, we'll talk other sports when we come back. All of your suggestions, though, about who should, what actors should play the rest of the wrestlers in the Hulk Hogan biopic. He's gonna be played by Chris Hemsworth. It's going to be a Netflix documentary. So I'm a Hulkamaniac. I went down that rabbit hole. I apologize for taking the show down that rabbit hole. We'll get back on track when we come back right here on the broadcast. This is The Horn, 104.9 AM, 1260. All right, so apparently we need to just devote a podcast to this one subject. I wanted to get my man Stu on Sports Guys Talking Wrestling to make sure that this is a topic on the show. Because it's taking over the show. I should have brought this up in the second half. There's so many great suggestions from people on the Specs text line. 512-337-3776. It all started. We started talking about Chris Hemsworth playing Hulk Hogan in a Netflix biopic about Hulk Hogan's life. And
this would be a cool job to have, casting this.
Oh, man. I want to cast it because I'm a wrestling
tough,
fan.
Though.
It's tough, but it's fun. Like, because I started with the two toughest characters, in my opinion, in the cast, which are Macho Man, Randy Savage, and Ric Flair. You try to figure those out, and then you go from there. And then I started thinking about other ones that are tough. I got one on the Specs text line right here that's really cool. And I love this wrestler. It says Chadwick Boseman, who played Black Panther, as Coco Beware. Boom! Love that, man! Love Coco Beware. The Birdman, the original Birdman.
He wasn't that big.
He wasn't that big, but he, you know what I mean? And he's very athletic.
Brought that pizzazz to the ring.
Oh, man, I love it. I love that. Yeah, someone says Terry Crews as Junkyard Dog or as Zeus. Yeah, I like that.
I saw another guy or another person say
like
Rampage
that.
As
Rampage as Junkyard Dog. I see that one now. That's a good one. I like that. Someone says T.R. LeBron can play Junkyard Dog. No, they're too swole. They got to play somebody else if they're going to be in it. I didn't forget about the Black Wrestlers. Somebody said, don't forget about the Black Wrestlers. I didn't forget about them. Trust me. I got them, too. Someone says, what about Jake the Snake? Who's going to play Jake the Snake? I have Liev Schreiber as Jake the Snake. That's who I have as Jake the Snake. You could also go Nicolas Cage. Someone wanted to know, hey,
yeah,
Nicolas Cage
and Con Air kind of has a Jake the Snake look.
That's exactly what I saw in my head. I saw Con Air, Nicolas Cage.
Are we drinking from the same cup?
No, we're just great mind thinking alike. Oh, I like this one. Danny Trejo as Jimmy Superfly Snuka. Well done.
Or
well
Tito
done.
Santana.
Ooh.
Strike Force.
Who's going to play Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man? I see someone that says Zach Galifianakis as the Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase. Ooh. It's a good one.
Speaking of Ted DiBiase, who's Virgil then?
That's LeBron.
Way too big.
I know. I'm just joking. No. A texter says Craig Way can play Mean Gene Oakland. I got Mean Gene Oakland. Paul Giamatti. Paul Giamatti is the perfect Mean Gene Oakland. I got knocked that one out of the park, by the way. I'm sure of that. All right. Way too much talk about this subject. I appreciate it. I'm going to try to talk more of the other sports in the next hour, all right? I promised you guys a lot before the show started, and now we've gone completely off the rails. So we come back. We'll address the president, Michael Young of Texas A&M, and his emails exposing his opinions about rekindling the Texas A&M rivalry. We'll get into that. Also, Texas making another hire on the support staff, this time on the defensive side of the ball. We'll address that too. Also, we'll talk more about Zion Williamson and his injury, a mild knee sprain that took him out 36 seconds into that Duke-North Carolina game. And then we'll talk about the reverberating effect, the domino effect that has taken place after that in the sports world, which is a conversation about amateurism and about student-athletes and how much they're compensated and if they need to be compensated. A quick Cliff Notes history lesson that I'm going to give to you guys on the other side, too, about where the term amateurism and where the term student-athlete actually come from. All right, we'll do that when we come back. And, of course, more of your thoughts about the casting of the Netflix biopic about Hulk Hogan and played by Chris Hemsworth. Remember, I know, before you guys call out my black card, because people are hitting me up saying, hey, man, you talking about Hulk Hogan? He's a racist. No, Hulk Hogan is not a racist. Terry Bollea is a self-admitted racist. Hulk Hogan is an American hero. Boom. There you go. That's how I rationalize it anyway. All of that and more when we come back. This is the Rodcast on the Horn, 104.9 and AM 1260.